Sunday Meditation, May 26, 1996. Today we would like some information on the topic of addictions, whether the addiction be of drugs, of work, of rituals, of friends, of food, of whatever. We're wondering, first of all, what value there might be in addictions. Surely there must be a reason why so many people have addictions. Almost everybody has one. How do we work on addictions? What's the proper attitude to take with an addiction? Do you try to solve it, correct it, accept it? And how do you know that you're getting anything done when you're trying to work with an addiction? Is there any value in working with addictions, any value in addictions themselves? How do addictions disappear? How do we work on them and gain any understanding? Is there any understanding that can come intellectually or through the heart to let us know that we've made progress on the addiction or that we're making progress?
Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator. We are those of the principle of Kuo, and we greet you in the unstopped love and the limitless light of the one infinite Creator. We wish to thank each of you and to bless each of you for calling us to your circle this day. You have given us a precious gift in asking us to blend our vibrations with your own, and asking to hear our opinion concerning addiction as we speak through this instrument. We will offer you some thoughts, and we ask that as you listen to them, you take those which please you and which have the subjective ring of truth to them, and to leave the rest behind. For each is upon an unique journey. Each has a unique path, and each has his own personal truth. Your discrimination is all important. It is well always to trust that instinct within that knows and recognizes its own truth. For others may feel strongly that their opinion is correct, and yet you are the only one who actually knows what is correct for you. Some truths last a month, some a year, some a lifetime. Yet all will one day be overshadowed by a higher and broader truth. So the relationship betwixt the seeker and all of those opinions that come from the outside is that of the connoisseur who chooses just those fruits and vegetables that are ripe. You know which truths you are ripe to receive. Others do not. So shrug off any thought whatsoever that does not satisfy you. In speaking to you about addiction, we would like to begin by working with the word addiction. For this word is to your people what the word vice was in a previous age. Both describe the condition wherein an entity feels driven to do or use or be something, some way. This calling of vice, addiction, makes it sound more vulnerable to, shall we say, the quick fix. And indeed, for specific addictions, there are quick fixes. However, the nature of addiction or vice can be seen to be that which takes a good thing and simply overdoes it. What drives entities to addiction, very simply, is the instinct that the body, the mind, and the spirit has to seek comfort, enjoyment, and peace. As each spirit enters incarnation, it is without preference, because it has had no experience. Immediately, a soul is born into flesh and breathes the air. It begins to weep because it is cold, uncomfortable, and hungry. All of those needs were met within the womb. But now, here is life. Given to a baby in full complement, with all of the ins and outs of the character that it will learn how to express as it grows older. But in the short run, this entity is helpless. It knows only when it lacks comfort. And when it lacks that comfort, it learns to express displeasure and need. And when the parents hear that innocent cry, they quickly learn to feed or bathe or change the infant that is squalling and thus upsetting the peace. The only tool that this young entity has to work with in the manifested body state is its inarticulate voice. And so the trials of incarnation begin with the sobs of the newborn. As each entity grows into itself and begins to attempt to find comfort within its own skin, it devises refinement upon refinement of ways to manipulate the environment so as to assure a supply of that which it fears may be lacking. The vices were in centuries past those easily observed signs of addiction, such as greed, envy, anger, and covetousness. We rather prefer to think in terms of these vices because there is a spiritual component to addiction as well as a physical and a mental component. The word vice seems by implication to include the spiritual. And indeed, there are spiritual vices or addictions. Now, beneath the surface of the conscious mind, within the roots of mind, which each has in fullness, but out of reach of consciousness, the self is fully aware that all is well and that all will be well. It is aware of that which the conscious mind has, shall we say, forgotten. That veil of forgetting that dropped at the beginning of the incarnational experience is only an apparent veil, for within each, at a deep level, all wisdom, all love already reside. It is the waking consciousness, then, that must deal with these deep instincts towards security and comfort. Now, moving back into that moment when the self takes on the biochemical, physical vehicle, gaze at that newborn infant and see the depth of the helplessness and the fears that come from that helplessness, that create that drive towards control, which addiction is the overexpression of. It is well to wish to control an environment so that one may continue to eat, clothe oneself, and be comfortable. This is what the Creator has hoped for in every instance, that each will be well and comfortable. However, each entity comes to an incarnation rather eager, in many cases, to learn more, to find a more profound level of dedication to unity, to love, to service. And because that entity before incarnation feels that this or that situation, physically or emotionally, will offer helpful catalyst, the self before incarnation sets up a dynamic with certain kinds of things that may occur that will work upon those lessons of love which the self has felt it could use more work upon. This is work that cannot be done out of a physical body or in a higher density. This third density is the one density in which many things are hidden. They are hidden specifically because it is well to create the illusion that maximizes confusion in order that entities wishing to learn about love are almost automatically placed in situations where these lessons will be offered. Rather, the material will be offered that will enable a spiritually dedicated seeker to do work upon that particular kind of lesson. Now, some have come with one kind of lesson, others with another. Perhaps one entity wishes to learn how to love. Perhaps another entity has always been able to give love, but has not ever been able to accept love unconditionally. That is but one example of how lessons can differ. They can differ across the board. So that for each entity, there is a kind of cycle that will occur where that lesson which is your choice will be presented in giving a situation which places one at risk and opens up the self to the questions of what shall I do, what is the right thing to do, and so forth. The wise way to work with this catalyst is, as this instrument would say, one day at a time. The tendency spiritual seekers have is to attempt transformation very quickly. And what this does is place the self in a rushed situation where it simply goes too far in attempting to grasp its lesson. This creates vast discomfort and a desire to find a more spiritually pleasant atmosphere. The way of wisdom in truth does not function well in the density you enjoy at this time. When one considers wisdom, one thinks of one who has a tremendous intellect, who is wise because of knowing a great many things. And yet, wisdom is actually that which stems from the open and purified heart. What this density is attempting to offer catalyst for each to do is simply to make the journey from the head to the heart. It does this by placing each seeker in a situation where it is getting beat about the head by the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, as this instrument would quote. When one is sufficiently uncomfortable, when the catalyst is heavy, then the self wakes up a little and realizes, I must work with this, or I will be even less happy than I am now. And so the work is done, and that level of the lesson is eventually learned. And all seems rosy for a time. That is because you are gathering your energy for the next cycle, in which you will again be faced with the same kind of lesson, but at a different level. Each level being more and more refined, more and more subtle. When the time is completed for each entity to graduate from this illusion into a fuller one, all of these veils are dropped, and each entity can see where it is vibrating, because it simply walks towards light until it can take no more intensity. And if that intensity of light remains third density, then that entity begins another cycle of experience. This is as far as we know a cyclical and eternal thing. There is always more time. No one runs out of time. For time is an illusion created just so, that entities can manifest and can experience each other and themselves and the world about them. For love, experiencing love, does not experience, but only is. Each of you is a part of the Creator's desire to know itself. And so, experience is dear to the infinite Creator, and it enjoys all of the range of possible experiences, seeing all things in their infinite smallness with relation to absolute love. This leaves the seeker who wishes to go faster, to learn more, to move the rate of spiritual evolution forward, pretty much left in the dark. And this dark, as we said, has a great purpose. You are supposed to be completely at a non-plus time and again within your experience, so that time and again you are free to choose what to do next. These choices are precious, for it is choice that is the business of this density. Now, when an entity has allowed a preference to become an unthinking addiction, they correct this instrument, it has allowed its environment to control her after all. For in adopting that which is not a necessity as a necessity, it has placed the self in a state of imbalance. We have talked about health through this instrument as being a state of balance. We have said health is not the same for any two entities, for no two beings have the same pattern of energy flow. No two beings have the same distortions, blockages, and fullnesses, or even overactivations of energy. So each entity in experiencing addiction is experiencing a helpful thing which has come out of balance and has been given an over-importance by the self. Thusly, there is no spiritually based judgment that can be rendered against addiction. It is simply that in making the choices that you came here to make, it is well to be as much as possible a free agent. To have preferences, perhaps, but not those preferences which cannot be let go. In the journey from head to heart, from intellect to feeling, from sense to sensibility, shall we say. The self is a being that is trying both to experience and observe at the same time. When the being is out of kilter with itself because of discomfort, then the learning slows down. So that which was intended first to give comfort to the food addict, the food, to the nicotine addict, the cigarette, and so forth, this is turned around and bitten. The entity who embraced it in an unbalanced manner. One of the great choices in any situation is, where is the love? Here. Another great question to ask the self when looking at addiction is, where is the service? Here. When one asks oneself those questions, one can begin to feel at least the silhouette or outline of the way beyond that addiction, which can be seen as a kind of blockage caused by overactivation. Now, some entities will be addicted from one energy or place within those constellation of energy centers that move up the spine of the body. So, depending upon the ray which is being worked upon, the experience of addiction will vary greatly. For a red ray addiction, such as breathing, shall we say, is a useful and good addiction, not just a preference. But when one gets into addictions of yellow and orange ray, these begin to be seen as those things which perhaps can be reduced to preferences. We find in this instrument's mind the work of an entity called Ken Kies. And it is his phrase, the reducing of addictions to preferences, that is a central point in this entity's good work. And we find the concept a good way of expressing the situation of addiction in such a way as to show one the way out of addiction. If one sees that there is a spiritual point involved, that there is a balance that is being sought, then one thinks rather differently about the addiction. And this is very well, for we wish entities to look at their choices without self-judgment. There is nothing gained by repeatedly talking to the self in a negative way concerning an addiction. See, rather, the entity within, that part of you that is addicted, as the child, that tiny baby that must cry or it will not be fed, that eats too much because it fears it will not get food soon again. No matter how abstruse or high vibration, as this instrument would say, the addiction becomes. When the addicted entity finally sees its way clear to reducing that addiction to preference, it has been able to forgive that child who desperately wants to be safe. Fear is behind these energies of vice or addiction. The fear that there will not be enough. The desire that rages out of control is a fear that has become unbalanced. Now, working with fear, entities feel often that they must make a dramatic change. For some personality types, this is well. For others, this is the kiss of death. For some, they must take the baby step. It is as though fear caused the entity to come into a cavern and to weave strands from the top to the bottom of the opening of the cave so that there would be a protection beyond the cave. We correct this instrument at the mouth of this cave of safety so that that which was outside could not get in. And we suggest to those who cannot take the giant step and quit an addiction at once that it is perfectly acceptable to take a strand at a time away from the opening to that place of safety, so that you venture out into the unguarded light of day, spiritually speaking, just a little at a time, and do not go faster than the growing maturity and balance can offer. So if there is an entity who has what it considers to be an addiction, and if that entity feels helpless within that addiction, then we encourage those entities to work a little at a time, but not to give up. It is sheer dogged persistence that will be your greatest ally when it comes to spiritual work. Simple, determined persistence can open every door. For in persisting in your dreams and your desires, you empower them, and through time, those choices that you have made and then followed and led to other choices and continued. This is the work of incarnation. This is the way you are learning to love, to give love, and to receive love. This is the work you came to do. We have said many times through this instrument that each entity has a job, and that job is called living devotionally. No matter what your service is or what you hope it will be in the world, your first and greatest service is to live in such a way that when you give this gift of a lifetime back to the Creator, you will feel that you have done the best that you could. For each comes into incarnation deliberately forsaking safety and knowledge and the larger point of view. You have wanted to come into this murky, heavy illusion in order to work on a certain muscle, and that muscle is called faith. No matter how grand or great an entity becomes, one is always short on faith. Money cannot buy it. There is no way to create an argument that will convince an entity to trust, hope, and endure in love. Faith is born in and of itself, in the mid-air of the leap into the abyss, which yawns before the one who drops intellectual reasoning and opens the self to the vulnerability of living by spirit, of living by the heart. See your addictions as those ways in which you have pursued comfort, enjoyment, usefulness. See these things as unbalanced but not wrongful actions. And see that goal of balance ahead, the balance of the self within, so that it begins to be able, without undue harm to the self, to let go of and allow to fall away those habits that have become, for one reason or another, that which drives the self rather than that which the self chooses. The goal is to become an entity conscious of choice. We find there are many queries upon the minds of those present this day, and so we will cut short this beginning message, for we would like to spend more time with you upon these queries that you have come with. We would at this time transfer this contact to the one known as Jim. In leaving this instrument, we thank it and leave it in love and in light. We are those of Akul.
Greet each again in love and in light through this instrument. At this time, we would be honored to be able to I am Kuo, and I'm again with this instrument. Is there another query with which we may speak?
person has an addiction to something that could possibly be deadly, where is the point that they cross over where it's beneficial to them into something that possibly hurts them or ends their existence in this third density?
I am Kuo, and am aware of your query, my sister. Though it is perhaps more difficult to ascertain this point than one would first imagine. For all behavior is driven foremost by the desire to live and to serve in some fashion. All distortions have this as the goal, though many, when pursued, will result in that which seems to be behavior deleterious to the entity or to another. This point is one which the entity itself can notice in most cases when the entity is not able to affect the behavior, rather is itself controlled by this behavior or by a desire which is yet undiscovered by the conscious mind. As you move through your life pattern, you will find there are many instances in which there is the opportunity for aiding another or for causing distress and grief. All life lives upon itself. The one creator knows itself through each entity's actions, thoughts, and the very core of the being within each. Thus, each entity must for itself decide where this point is and what action is required at this point. The life is layered enough and complex enough that it is not possible to offer an easy equation for any point of discernment. We would recommend that each entity decide for itself by retiring to that sacred room within and asking there concerning any questionable behavior. Ask with the faith that that still small voice within will respond, and will respond in a manner that is helpful to the seeker. May we speak in any further way, my sister? I am Kuo. May we ask if there is any other query, my sister?
What, what is the some possible ways to rid oneself of fear?
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. We would suggest that for many, facing the fear giving it a name and attempting to understand it by experiencing it is the most effective way, for there is much of ignorance in fear. And to inform the self as fully as is possible of that which is feared is to make it a friend, to make it known, and perhaps even an ally. In this way, many fears may be relieved. Is there a further query, my sister?
Let's take for an example, if someone has a fear of their life ending or being taken, then how would embracing that fall into facing the fear? How would that work?
I am aware of your query, my sister. Much can be done in mind and imagination in the meditative state as one is able to construct the elements that partake of the situation which is feared. In this way, an entity may see a greater view, an overview, if you will, of the total experience and the place one fits within it. Discussing fears with those whom one trusts is also an helpful measure to take. For simply speaking of that in as much detail as one can often brings forth from within the entity itself those qualities which are feared, so that others who may have similar fears may speak to you on that topic and give an opinion which may help in your considerations and in your basic response to the situation or condition which is feared. To express, to act, to be active in general with fears is an helpful avenue to pursue. Is there a further query, my sister?
If, taking that same example, if somebody has spent considerable time or energy with those thoughts and considering vibrations speeding up and thoughts becoming things or manifesting themselves into third density, the physical third density experience, is it possible that that person would draw to them that experience? And if so, how would they put a stop to that thinking or to that situation?
I'm cool. And believe we grasp your query, my sister. The phenomenon of thoughts becoming things is a feature of the fourth density experience, which is in its birth stages upon your planet at this time. And though this is that milieu, shall we say, into which each moves as the evolutionary path continues, one must not be fearful of exploring one's own mind and thoughts. It is the intention with which you explore that is most important. If you go into an experience fearful of it, it is more likely that the experience will, shall we say, continue its grip over you. If we could suggest that one simply drop fears, we would. However, we are aware that each entity has gathered about its perspective certain distortions that lead it in a direction which will balance the distortions. We would recommend that each go forward fearlessly into the life experience and follow the leading of the heart. Retire as often as is necessary to that meditative space within your own being, to seek not only the answers to your difficulties, but the actions, the framework of mind, the attitude, and the empowerment that comes from the heart's direction. We cannot give you simple answers to difficult situations. One must eventually trust the self at the deepest level and have the faith to continue a course that has been decided upon as helpful. Continue with the will and the faith that such is the case. Is there a further query, my sister? I am Kuo, and we thank you, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
I had a query, more of a personal nature, I would say. About experienced what I believe to be a negative being attempting to polarize me or something of that nature. Could you possibly tell me something about this particular entity if that was the case?
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. Yet to speak in a specific fashion, we find to be an infringement. However, we may suggest that the approach of having no fear and giving love where fear could easily intrude is indeed the most effective manner of dealing with any entity from any origin. For all entities are of the one Creator, whether their choice has been for the light or for seeking the darkness and the contraction and separation from all other selves. Yet if one such as yourself is able to look at such an entity with your eyes and with your heart full of love, seeing there the one Creator in that entity will respond in like manner, and the reason for fear shall disappear. Is there a further query, my brother?
I have something that I had written down and had in front of me. I was wondering if it was possible to read it. The breaking of the circle temporarily would involve the hurting of the contact.
I am Kuo. Please read that which you have brought.
How can a lower level fourth density negative beings abridge an entity's free will, and what can the entity do to prevent this?
I am Kuo, and am aware of your query, my brother. There is slight possibility that any entity of another vibrational level would so choose to infringe upon your or any other third density entity's free will without the repercussions, shall we say. However, we are aware that there are those who do experience such interactions with a fourth density entities of the service to self orientation. And in any such instance, it would be our recommendation that one retire again to that meditative state and find within the feeling of unity with the one creator as fully as one can. And as one experiences this unity and love, send these vibrations to the entity who would infringe. Send them with a full and happy heart, knowing that you are reflecting to this entity the love and light of the one creator. Surround then the self with this same love and light, and go forth with rejoicing, knowing that this love and light is all the protection that one needs. Do not have fear or attempt to battle such an entity upon any psychic, mental, spiritual, or emotional level. For to so battle an entity is to enter upon that entity's home ground and to refuse the strength of your own polarity, which sees the one creator and love in all. This is your protection, the fact of unity and the fact of its growing love within you. Is there a further query, my brother? I am Kuo, and we thank you, my brother, and there is no need for the apology, for we are all seekers together and learn each from the other. Is there another query at this time?
Well, I'll jump in with one. I realized that I started telling you that you had to get off the subject and start opening questions when you started into the race, but I was just really curious about, you said something at the beginning about there were some spiritual addictions, and I just, if you wanted to comment on that, about, because I know, like, I go to church all the time, and is that an addiction or preference?
I am Kuo. I'm aware of your query, my sister. We would term the spiritual addictions as those behaviors which an entity entertains for the purpose of spiritual advancement, but which are carefully kept in the mind to feed, shall we say, one's estimation of oneself, so that one may feel somewhat superior to another.
So pride is spiritual.
This is correct, my sister. Is there a further?
Oh, no, that hits the nail on the head, as far as I'm concerned. Thank you very much.
I am Kuo, and again, we thank you, my sister. Is there another query?
Yeah, I'm wondering, we are into the season of taking a vacation and having a break, so will you take your vacation?
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. We take the same pleasure, if you will, in speaking to groups such as this one, as many of your peoples do in taking a break from their daily round of activities. For it is the change of atmosphere the change of perspective, the change of inspiration, shall we say. That seems to be the invigorating factor for the so-called vacation. We treasure our times with groups such as this, and with the opportunity to be of service to others. From the desire to serve the one Creator, we seek no vacation, but revel in our times with you. Is there another query, my brother?
How about now? Now you have many more opportunities.
I am Kuo, and we echo your sentiments, my brother. Is there another query at this time?
I've got unusual cattle coming my way in the visit of Poopy and Brandy little boy. And I wondered if you would comment on that anyway, if you feel moved.
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. Our recommendation would be the same for any experience that one is apprehensive beforehand concerning how it shall be endured. Our recommendation is that one seek with all one's being to be of service and to trust that all that occurs is within the realm of that which is acceptable, perhaps even planned, and directed for one's own growth and service to others. We would suggest going forth with a happy heart, with the knowledge that all is truly one, that all works in a plan in which each has partaken in its inception. We would again recommend faith and will and good humor, for the sense of proportion and perspective is always a view which offers the most opportunity for harmony and good cheer. We thank you, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
Is there, for somebody seeking in the positive path, what ways are I don't want to say best, but available when dealing with somebody who is manipulative and controlling?
I am Kuo, and we do not mean to seem facetious, but the ways are infinite. There is a full reach of possibility for each seeker to deal with any entity in relationship. Again, we recommend trusting that small voice within, seeking its counsel and guidance, attempting with as much perseverance as possible to keep one's mind in an open state so that it may see without prejudice new possibilities, that one go forth into each encounter with the faith that the words necessary, the emotions helpful, and the actions efficient will come forth as freely as the sun shines and the wind blows. If you had to solve all of your problems immediately with a solution that you could understand, you would forever be tied in a knot of fear and confusion. the intellectual mind is most helpful in its analytical abilities, in the means it provides for communication, and in the recreation of the gymnastics possible with the mind, the words, the concepts, and so forth. But beyond this, and before this, we would recommend seeking the counsel of the heart and moving in those steps with sureness and with confidence. For there is within each a path and a plan that leads home, shall we say, to the home of harmony, of giving and receiving the love of the one Creator, and to beginning, and we emphasize beginning, to understand a small amount of that which is the life pattern. Is there a further query, my sister?
Just that, is it more polarizing towards the positive to give in to the control and the manipulation, or is it more depolarizing to ignore it?
I am qual. And I'm aware of your query, my sister. Again, we would suggest that it is the intention with which any action is undertaken that determines whether or not the action shall be polarizing in one direction or another. As you seek the counsel of the heart, you will find that the overview of the relationship comes more clearly into focus. And as you seek to give the most helpful service and the deepest, most heartfelt love, you will find that small voice giving direction here and there. Listen for that voice and follow the direction. There is no other rule that we are aware of that will work without fail. Is there another query, my sister? I am Kuo, and again, we thank you, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
Is that what should be done?
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. We believe that it is possible to do this in love. One can love and yet wish not to experience such vibrations, perhaps for the welfare, we correct this instrument, for the welfare of another. We reiterate that it is well to seek the counsel of the heart. We cannot predict for you what its counsel will be. We can only recommend that it is good counsel. Is there a further query, my sister?
No.
I am Kuo, and we thank you. Is there another query at this time?
I did not believe it would be possible to be working within a structure that is, to my mind, a negative structure, with a lot of self-serving individuals running around, and yet the desire for those individuals to have their heart's desire without interfering and wishing to assist in that process. Is that possible? Because I really have a desire to do that, to be of service to these individuals within this structure, but it never occurred to me before that such a thing is possible. Can you comment on this?
I am qual, and am aware of your query, my brother, and can only respond by suggesting that it is indeed possible. For any action which is undertaken with the desire to be of service, and the desire to see the one creator in another, is an action which is well grounded in what we feel to be the most solid of assumptions. Is there a further query, my brother?
Yeah, this is just for the mechanics of how that works, probably more than an intellectual question, but how does that affect the polarity when we have a positive service to others oriented entity working with a negative oriented entity so that negative one may have its way? How does that affect the polarity? Does it have any effect at all? Does it really matter?
I am Paul, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. Again, we deal with that which is speculative and that which is hypothetical. If the positively polarized entity is seeking to be of service to another, any such action undertaken with that intention increases the polarity. However, within this illusion, there may be deleterious effects. One must, however, remember both that this is an illusion and that all is one. And that one may choose to a certain degree the arena in which one seeks to polarize. Is there a further query, my brother?
Not about that subject. Thank you.
I'd like to extend on that question. What is the appropriate decision for somebody on the path for service to others to make when there's a condition where a choice to serve one would hurt somebody else? In other words, to make a decision to help one person would harm a different person or bother them.
I'm qual, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. We are beginning to sound to ourselves like a broken record. But again, we shall correct this instrument and suggest that one must make these choices after consulting the deepest portion of the self. We cannot decide for you. We cannot give you equations or hypothetical choices of behavior. For all entities and relationships are far more complex than any simple solution could satisfy. We, therefore, have the necessity of dealing with generalities and of suggesting that in any situation, it is well to seek the counsel of the heart, to first perhaps analyze with the mind, review, chew over, think, choose one way hypothetically, observe the response, choose another, observe the response. Then, filled with thought, with possibility, with confusion, seek again the